This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Episode number 42.
Hey, man.
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Welcome back, fellas.
There's a lot of dudes in this room. Why don't we introduce ourselves so it distinguishes our voice?
Well, that's Kevin. I'm Ian.
Yep.
Yo.
We also have Ryan the Beard in here.
Ayo.
Long Max.
What up?
And also Travis the Virus.
Sup?
I think we can distinguish Travis. He has a very, very distinct voice.
But we got Travis here. We got the monthly deal where we got Travis coming in and do his viral rant. So look forward to that later in the podcast.
Hell yeah. It's always a good time. He says the things that need to be heard.
This is very true. You guys had a good week so far?
I had a pretty good week, man.
We're recording this on Valentine's Day. So
that's true.
Yeah.
No.
By the time you hear it, you will have gotten laid or will have sat at home and watched rom-coms.
Man,
like I do.
I had an awesome week. I got to see Felix Martin. It was rad as hell.
Oh, yeah, the highlight.
Tell us about that show. I didn't get to go to that one.
Dude, that guy is a beast.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he's insane.
I was, went to that show with a couple of my guitar buddies, and we were standing there watching him play, and I had this conversation with Nick from Czar, who is an absolutely insanely talented guitarist.
Yeah, he's great in his own.
Yeah, no joke. That guy really shreds. And he commented, and he's like, you know, it's not like he was doing necessarily anything that with his left or right hand that I couldn't do myself. But when you add the fact that he's using both hands simultaneously and harmonizing with himself, that's what really just makes it ridiculously insane. And it's not like the guy was doing anything necessarily insanely fast or insanely technical. It was more so the fact that he was able to...
It was a synthesis. He's having a brain crossover.
Yeah, exactly. It's the fact that he's able to be his own... It's kind of the fact that he was able to harmonize with himself with his other hand and do the things that he was doing.
It's like playing piano, kind of.
He was doing. He had a couple spots where he was doing dual guitar harmonies where each hand was in a separate time signature.
Wow.
So he was doing polyrhythms with himself, which is just absolutely insane.
He just polyrhythmed all over himself.
Yeah, it was really, really a cool show, man. Very, very cool.
The thing I think is one of the coolest things, he built his own guitar. Like, he created this new... He created something new.
Yeah, totally.
It's 2 7-string necks, correct?
Yeah, well,
that are kind of like fused.
He had one was a 2 7-string necks and one was an 8 and a 6.
Oh, okay.
And it was really cool. And since he built his own guitar, he's since gotten a couple other people who are more skilled with the arts of being a luthier than himself. And they've gotten about 13 or 14 different instruments built for him that all have his specs and varying numbers of strings on the two different necks. And man, I mean, he's really pushing the limits and pushing the envelope on what people are able to do with the instrument, which is a really cool thing, you know, because as the string war continues for who can put more strings on a fretboard, the guy's like, well, you know, let's just have a second fretboard and use your other hand. And all of a sudden there's all these options that open up. It's really cool stuff, man.
Guitar porn?
Hella
guitar porn.
Hella guitar
Like Gonzo?
Porn. Like, really.
So, Kevin, you have the very strange, like, coincidence/circumstance that your girlfriend's birthday and Valentine's Day are the same week.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money this week.
Yeah, I was gonna say, dude.
It's cool.
That's kind of rough. It's like having her birthday and Christmas, like, right next to each other.
Today, I made some bomb steaks for us and got her all kinds of, you know, like, candy and the Valentine's Day card and all that stuff and roses and whatnot. But on Tuesday, I actually skipped out on the Cannibal Corpse and Behemoth show, as unmetal as that is. It was my girlfriend's birthday, and we went to Cirque du Soleil, which also sounds very unmetal, but was fucking awesome.
Cirque du Soleil rules.
Yeah,
and, so much.
Was totally mind-blowing. We were drinking our beers and just hanging out and watching this shit, and I could not believe the way that these people contort their bodies. There was a guy that was three high. So there was three dudes stacked high on each other's shoulders, like standing on each other's shoulders. A guy stood in front of all three of these men and did a backflip and landed on the third guy, his shoulders. He did a backflip three people high and landed on that guy's shoulders.
Don't fuck with that guy.
And with no strings or anything. It was fucked, but it was awesome. And yeah, I totally marked out. It was good times, man.
You should have dropped some acid or something before you went.
I was going to ask, is that an okay event?
I wonder how many people are tripping at any given Cirque du Soleil. Yeah.
It was pretty family friendly, but I'm thinking it's also, you know, Washington, so everyone is probably baked as fuck.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And just for the record, going to see any form of art, totally metal, man.
There you go.
Yeah, man. Experience the arts. It's a good thing.
Last week, I didn't get to go to many metal shows, but this week, I'll be going to Napalm Death with Voivod and Exhumed, and I'll probably be hitting up the Suicide Silence show on Friday. So, there you go. How was Cannibal Corpse and Behemoth, guys?
It was packed.
Dude,
smelly?
Nut to butt from stage to merch booth.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable.
It was
nut to butt?
It was
I like that.
Out, man. It's totally packed out.
Yeah, I feel bad because Josh's friend, that girl that he brought to the show, like, was standing in line with me to grab some shirts or something.
Okay.
And she was one step above me where the merch is, and I turned around, and because it was so full, I got bumped with my face right into her boobs.
Like, you don't
right
feel bad about that.
Between her boobs. I didn't feel bad. I wasn't going to say that. I was like, hey, guess what I did? Eh. But it was one of those, it was so packed that I had my face in some boobs.
So it was nut to butt, face to boob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Nice.
That's how packed it was.
I feel like Ian ended up with the happy end of the
I got the best, yes.
But also, the thing
I also had a dude's butt right in my face the whole time, dude.
All right.
Another thing that I noticed is that Ian was side stage taking video, so he definitely had a good spot there.
I snuck around the other side. It was so packed in there that the side stage was full.
No
yeah. Yeah, it was full of, like, our friends. You know, I walked back there. It was, like, Matt from HIMSA and Tracy from Studio 7 was back there. Ryan was back there. Misha was back there. And I was like, fuck, how many people are back here? There's nowhere else for me to stand. So I walked there. I tried to walk around the other side, and they were like, no, Behemoth playing, no entry for you.
Mm-hmm.
But bummer. When Cannibal Corpse was playing, I was standing on the other side behind, like, hiding behind their wall of cabs.
Oh, nice.
And they had four of them. Only one of them was plugged in.
Man, this, I had a really interesting interaction while we were at that show. I was standing off on the side of the stage, just getting a couple quick videos for the website and some pictures and things like that, with my phone. And this girl who had a really nice, insanely expensive camera was on the other side of the barricade, front row, like trying to get pictures. And she was like, hey, how do you get back there? And I was like, well, you gotta, you know, you can't just let random people back here.
And, you know what you gotta do.
And she pulled out the tour pass and she's like, no, I got a pass. Like,
I got it. No, she's like, literally, I need to know how I can walk back around there.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, oh, okay, well, go around to the ATM. I'll show you how to do it. And so I brought her around back and showed her around to the other side. And so she was shooting pictures with the camera and I'm taking pictures with my crappy cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns to me and she's like, you know, if you really want to be a professional, you should probably invest in a camera.
Like, I'm not a pro, man. I'm just hanging
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I'm just a guy at the show. Don't diss on my
she's
camera.
She's like, get out of my space, man. I'm trying bitch. To do my job.
She God was damn. Really not happy that I was in the way of her getting these, like, super artsy
And then you could have been like, security!
Get this bitch out of here!
How was Tribulation? Did you get to check them out?
I didn't get there.
I got there late, man.
I got there during Aeon. They were pretty cool. It was kind of like, kind of generic death metal.
Dude, I'm actually really bummed out I missed Tribulation, man.
I heard that they're sweet.
Good stuff.
You know, one thing that always does stand out to me at, like, brutal death metal shows, especially Cannibal Corpse, is like the two or three people in the front row who know every fucking word.
Oh, yeah.
Like every
word.
That's
Travis.
Like every word, every, like the phrasing, everything. Like if you pull them up on stage and gave them the mic, they could sing the whole set.
It would have been me, like, if I couldn't have gotten into the show.
Right. Well, dude, you got to hit us up next time.
I was an idiot, okay? Damn. I thought that maybe I could just get a ticket a
couple
days before.
I didn't even use my plus
but
one.
No,
it went by the wayside.
Yeah, they sold out. But, you know,
you would have had a hard
I've seen
time
Behemoth five
anywhere.
Times, and I've seen Cannibal Corpse seven times, so I wasn't too bummed. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
that's a lie.
I'm just saying, those are the kids that, like, I'm afraid seriously are going to fucking kill somebody, because it's like, they're singing along like, fucked with a knife. Like, all of this fucked up, brutal death metal.
Dude, those...
And they get back in their mom's, like, Subaru station wagon and be like, thanks for
How
the ride
the
to the
show.
How
was
the show,
honey? It was fucking brutal, Mom. I have a question, guys. What do you guys feel... How do you guys feel about revenge porn?
No comment.
You think it should be illegal?
I'm already the bad guy.
Yeah,
like, you think it
Max,
should be
you're
illegal?
Disqualified.
Well,
should it be
illegal?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely in the case of minors and stuff...
Here's the thing, like, we live in a modern age, right? We all have been in relationships in the last 10, 15 years, as whether that varying depth of, you know, intensity. At some point, every single man in this room has gotten a nude photo from someone. I don't know about the rest of you. I have a lot of mine saved, you know, somewhere, you know?
Nice.
But they're mine. And the reason that I don't leak any of mine is because I feel like, A, it's morally wrong. B, I don't, you know, the legality of it, it's not for me to decide, I don't think. I personally believe that it is really, and I don't, this is the one thing, the one time I do believe in karma.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you want to continue to receive and be trusted by females and enjoy this awesome part of technology, you have to not fuck it up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's revenge porn. I thought we were talking about, like, making a porno with a chick and showing friends.
Well, kind of.
Well,
that's the whole
there's
thing.
There's a lot of, Max, obviously, you know what we're talking
if
about.
If someone sends me a porn,
you know
sends
we're
me a photo,
about.
No. Yeah, you don't send that. Yeah.
Well, that's what exactly what
don't
we're
show
talking
someone
about.
Someone else's body out?
The reason why I ask is...
upload it to a website and go up.
Oh, yeah, that's not cool.
My ex was a bitch. No. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no go.
There was this famous wrestler on Monday, Seth Rollins, who got his nudes leaked because he essentially was having a affair with this chick. He was engaged to this one lady, and apparently she unlocked his phone, found out he was cheating, so she posted nudes of this chick he was cheating with, then a few minutes later posted his nudes. He got in big trouble. He's getting fined by the WWE for all this stuff because his nudes, his Instagram and his Twitter link to WWE.com, and, which is something that a lot of kids see.
And one of the girl that got leaked on his Instagram is like a wrestler for their farm team, like organization. So she works there, you know.
And the chick who was the fiance, she came out and said, "Yeah, I did it. I
so, yeah,
you
did
know,
it. So
I did all that
you.
Stuff." So I was just wondering, what do you guys think? You think she should get trouble for that?
That's
hell
like
yeah,
it's an invasion of privacy. If it's the kind of thing where you can't walk around and like flash people your. You're not supposed to expose somebody else unknowingly, unwillingly to the world. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of people that see that, you know?
people going back and forth about it, like, well, he was cheating on her, but the thing is that's not illegal. As shitty as it may be, it's not illegal to cheat on someone.
Can't legislate relationship,
So, I don't know. It is what it is. It's just some bullshit drama. I found it interesting.
I mean, like, you remember Is Anyone Up, the website?
Oh, yeah.
Which is gone now. More?
That guy's in jail.
Yeah,
for,
yeah, he's in jail. But I think the reason that he did take it down is because someone paid him off.
Hmm.
Someone bought the website from him and shut it down. They basically gave him a lot of money. But he did end up going to jail for posting, like, and hacking into emails.
Wasn't it, like, tax evasion and all kinds of other
shit,
too?
Yeah, he was hiding money all over the place. But there's another couple websites that I know of that still do.
Uh-oh.
So it's still
4chan?
Around. Well, yeah, I mean, you can just Google it now.
Sometimes I think those nerds just, like, find photos on Google and post there to be cool.
Of course. You're like, I've never done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You're like, they can't do that. I can't do
You got to keep
so
your nudes, man. You got to keep them safe in your vault, in your head.
In your Dropbox.
No, don't put them in the cloud.
What's wrong with you?
Nobody knows my Dropbox but me. So it's fine.
And the federal government.
That's what everyone said before the fappening.
That's like the next subject, dude.
All right.
Now I'm going to hack your nude photo Tinder file.
Hey, I deleted Tinder, actually.
No way.
Breaking news.
I reflected on it, and I was like, Max, you sound like a fucking douchebag.
Really?
Yeah.
You just realized that?
Well, so I deleted Tinder.
All right. You're making progress.
I feel like I should mark this date in the calendar. Max realizes he's a douchebag.
Yeah, Valentine's Day 2015.
Next week. So I signed up for blackpeoplemeet.com or something else.
Farmers only.
Or whatever.
Like, motherfucker.
J-Date.
You're a little white guy.
Max is like, yo, I'm on dates with seacaptains.org.
J-Date.
Trying to pick up some nautical women.
You could be Jewish. You could fit as maybe a Jewish guy.
Yeah, Maxfield Jacoby. I've already got it figured out.
You could be a joke.
I've already got the name figured out, man. Don't worry.
Sweet.
Max Longsky.
No. Maxfield
Max
Longenstein.
All right. Time for some metal news.
Metal news.
The week of Valentine's Day 2015.
Happy VD.
Everybody remembers Dragon Force.
Yes.
The debate has always been, can they really pull it off?
Can they?
Can they really pull it off live? I've never... I don't think I've seen Dragon Force for some reason.
They've played plenty of times here in Seattle,
I've always been busy or not... didn't fucking care.
Yeah. They've played... I believe I saw them at Mayhem Fest with Slipknot and Mastodon. Excuse me, guys. Sorry, I burped. Got steak breath.
Ew. Mm. Anyway, the reason I ask is because they have a new DVD coming out. It's called In the Line of Fire. It's coming out over the summer, July 14th.
Okay.
High definition footage during the Ultimate Stage headline at Loud Park Festival in Tokyo. So that should be cool. A hell of Japanese metalheads banging their heads. So you'll be able to see whether or not they can actually do it live.
That's awesome.
Studio recording dubbed over their live performance.
Just green screened. Shut up, Max.
What was that?
I'm Max.
Get that horse out of here.
You're dabbed out.
For sure.
All right.
Well, Dimebag Daryl, his house was actually the subject of some interest this past week as they're going back and talking about Dimebag for the 10th anniversary of his untimely death. And so there was kind of a tour of his house and studio, and you may have guessed it, it was pretty fucking metal. There was all kinds of cool merchandise all over, and if you've ever seen Dime Vision, you've probably seen clips of his house. He's him lighting up fireworks in his house and just having generally a good time. He's got all kinds of, you know, gaudy tchotchke stuff all over and lots of metal paraphernalia.
Dude, the guitar room, when they showed his guitar room, started busting out some of his old axes.
Nice.
They were like,
f***ing rad.
He always considered this hallowed ground, and they were like, we do too. And I was like, you better fucking, it is. That's a very expensive and f***ing epic room that you're standing in right
don't
there.
Don't light the fireworks in that room. Light them in any of the
no
other
fire
rooms.
In the guitar room.
I bet Dime
room.
Didn't even do that.
There's a sign above the bathroom that says Slaytanic sh**er, which is awesome.
And it's written in all that angular Slayer old school font, too.
Hell yeah. So, obviously, he was not faking it.
The cool thing about that, I don't know if you mentioned it already, but they've kept it the exact same.
That's tight.
This whole time. It's almost like a museum, but not really. It's just a house that is fucking sweet.
How long has it been? 10 years?
Does Rita live there?
Yeah, it was 10 years. I don't know if Rita lives there or not. That's a good question. It's a pretty sweet house, so
yeah,
I, you know.
Couldn't. Absolutely.
Let's see. One of the coolest news stories of the week, Adam D. from Killswitch Engage, winning the entire package on Price is Right, the entire showcase.
Ah, the showcase showdown. That was such a cool video, man.
This is only 2 minutes. Let's just play it here real
All
quick.
Right.
Man, he started out so strong. Now he says 33. You got it!
Yeah! And he's just freaking out right
now. Yeah.
That's a Price is Right contestant right there.
So he just won a Honda. And he's just losing it.
I love that Travis Ryan from Cattle Decap is just like shirtlessly windmilling in the audience.
That's awesome.
This is insane.
There he is, just clapping and yelling.
Man, gotta be the 60.
Okay.
All right.
So he's at the wheel now. He's got 60 cents.
Wanna say hi to somebody? Yeah, I wanna say hi to my dog, Steve.
Say hi to my dog, Steve.
I said hi to my dog.
And he wins the showcase.
How about that? Said hi to his dog, what a car.
And he's wearing sandals.
He got a car.
Twitter. Bunch of bullets on Twitter. Why not? That Price is Right. That's where we are on Twitter. Showcase for next. No way.
This is just like the highlights, dude. So he's in it like the whole episode.
This is the best day of my life. He's in a trailer, Nissan Frontier here, showcase. $28,000 is your bid. Actual retail price. $32,836. You beat her by $101.
Yeah! He's freaking out.
He's just running laps around.
He won two cars and a buttload of money.
A sweet new Nissan truck and the package worth $51,000.
The only thing that would have made this better is if he had been wearing the cape the entire time.
But that's rad, man. He obviously had a good personality. I don't know if they choose the people beforehand for that game show or if they kind of randomly choose them based on where they're sitting.
Right.
But
it's hard to say.
It seems like he would have been a perfect person to be pre-screened if they were to interview everyone because he has such an interesting personality. Obviously, he is a very funny and outgoing kind of guy. So obviously,
I'm pretty sure
perfect.
That's how it goes.
One thing that I found out about this story after the fact is that obviously, I don't know if I mentioned this, but he's donating it all. So he's just going to donate the truck and the package and all this stuff.
That's awesome.
I found out because you know how they have those the lists that pop up every few months or whatever of how many or how much money a band made at a certain date for or their shows, you know?
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it turns out, and they popped up, you know, how much money some of these metal musicians are worth. How much money do you think Adam D. is worth?
50 grand?
Take a stab.
50 grand?
I don't know.
50 grand is the amount of the package that he's giving away.
Yeah. I thought you were bringing this up to be like a shocking number.
I'll say 2 million.
Okay. Anyone else?
I'll say 200,000.
Okay.
All right. I got none.
$8 million.
Damn.
What?
Seriously?
Adam D. is fucking rich,
dude.
Because
he's a producer, man.
He's a producer. He does tons of stuff. He does a lot of tour organizing. I'm sure he is very smart with his money.
So in other words, he has other things he's been able to make money off of.
I'm sure he's doing all kinds of
And Killswitch does pretty good for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, pretty good for themselves, but not $8 million.
No.
Good.
Oh, yeah. But
good for him.
Yeah.
$8 million, Adam D, dude.
Obviously he's able to just give away $50,000, so
yeah.
And a couple cars.
Yeah. Donating.
Pretty
right
rad.
On. Well,
congratulations, Adam. So for him that must have just been awesome to just like win.
Hell
be
yeah.
There.
Just to be on TV.
Yeah, because he's just like, I don't fucking care. I'm rich.
Hang out with Drew Carey. If you guys could be on any game show, what game show would you be on?
Because
Price is Right would be cool, but I think Family Feud would be awesome.
Family Feud would be awesome. Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, Guts.
Yeah, or
no,
Guts.
If we're talking money, though, Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah, totally. Jeopardy,
yeah,
I'd like to say Jeopardy.
If I went bankrupt in Wheel of Fortune, I would fucking lose my shit.
Yeah.
I would be freaking out. Some comedian I heard recently, he's like, yeah, well, these guys, they got $1 million. They go bankrupt, and they're like, okay, that sucks. I'll just spin the wheel again. I'd feel like, what the fuck? That's $1 million. Fuck you, Pat Sajak.
My favorite game show of all time that I would love to be on if they brought it back Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, yeah.
That game was f***ing sweet.
Kevin would kill at that.
Oh, man.
Just run around the store with your grocery shopping list or whatever?
Back in the day, like when Nickelodeon game shows, at the end, they would give out, like, the grand prize was a Toys R Us shopping spree. I used to have f***ing dreams when I was a kid of having a Toys R Us shopping spree. They give you, like, 2 minutes to go through Toys R Us and just like, load up. I was like, oh, my fucking God, all the Legos.
You would go ape.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, give me all the Nerf guns.
Where's the wrestling section? Let's do this.
There's a little kid, like, getting some stuff. You're like, get the fuck out of here. This is my fucking shopping spree.
If I could be on any game show, they don't do this anymore, but if they brought it back, if I had a chance, I would love to be on Win Ben Stein's Money. Not because I think I could actually answer more correct questions, actually win his money. I would just spend the entire show telling him what a fucking idiot he is for not believing in evolution.
Nice.
Yeah, Ben Stein is... I always liked him, but he's got some weird-ass... beliefs, man.
Yeah. What about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That's pretty trivial stuff, and you earn a quick like.
I just don't
64.
Like Regis Philbin. I don't like him.
Go to the later season one with like Wayne Brady or whoever hosts it now.
What's the one that you can make the most money on? What's the game show you can make the most money on?
The most guaranteed money. Because
what's that? What was that one with Howie?
Deal or No Deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, Howie Mandel.
I'd want to do the pyramid
cases.
Where you have to answer where somebody just says like. They give you a subject and you have to guess it off of the clues that the other person.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
How about this one? Well, Most Extreme Championship. You remember that?
Oh, I get really high and watch
with
that.
The Japanese guys.
Yes. I used to laugh until I cried, dude. Yeah, I'd get high and then
that's
just
on
go
Hulu.
Home.
With the, I get high and watch that thing.
So with overdubs up. And stuff. Oh, that show was awesome.
Hella racist.
All right, so speaking of things that are not really a thing anymore. Cold Chamber came out with a new album.
Indeed,
or
they did.
Going to. Is it out now?
I don't think it's out
yet. It's not out yet.
No, no. They're working on it.
They've released the info.
Yeah, they've released all the info for it, so it's an official thing that they're working on it. It's going to happen, apparently.
And you said original lineup?
Yep, looks like the original lineup, so.
That's local.
That BMX guy's wife is playing bass for him again, and the guy with the chin tattoos is going to be doing his vocal thing.
Dez?
Yeah,
what's he going to do with
his from Devil Driver?
What's he going to do with his hair? Is he going to like make it nu metal again?
That's the most important part of the Cold Chamber question. What's their hair going to look like?
What are they going to look like?
That's the most important issue with any nu metal.
The Cold Chamber hair
how
is
many
like
piercings
the masks and Slipknot. It's a big effing deal.
There was a time there for at least like a year where every band just looked like Orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like every band looks like they fell out of the fucking Matrix.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the 90s, but actually a reputable band that I do care about. Faith No More is putting out a new record, and it's going to be called Soul Invictus. Their new single, obviously, what was it called? Like, F*** Yourself?
It was Motherfucker.
Motherfucker, yeah. Motherfucker was a single, but the album title is Soul Invictus. It's going to be coming out May 19th, and it's their first record in 19 years. And you
Hell
may
yeah.
not care about the Cold Chamber record, but you should check out the Faith No More record.
Yeah, I'm a big Mike Patton fan, and I have never gotten to see him perform in any project. So heads up.
So did you buy tickets?
If anybody has an extra ticket they want to help me out with,
yeah.
I got frozen the hell out.
You got to earn it, dude. You got to really earn it.
And
you know
speaking of sold-out events, if anyone has a ticket to Electric Wizard, holler at me.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I got mine.
F*** you.
Yes, f*** me.
That's awesome.
Wait, isn't that at Numos?
Yep.
A book I want to read, the upcoming Devin Townsend autobiography. That guy's crazy, and I like his kind of crazy, so he said that he's editing his autobiography, which means it's probably getting close to done-ish. Who knows? That guy's probably going back
he's
and forth.
Editing
back
it.
And forth. So it's going to be a hybrid autobiography / personal philosophy book.
That should be pretty amusing.
He says it's a travelogue, a songbook, a celebration, elucidation, and condemnation. It's a story, my story told by me for you. That should be cool.
Nice. Ian, you've done a lot of gear trading on Craigslist, right?
Yeah, I laid off for a while because I realized I had a problem.
Okay. Fair enough.
Not the only one.
Yeah.
This week, there was a pretty funny Craigslist posting from the New York City. It got flagged and just kind of made the rounds as far as metal news sites. It's just hilarious because it's an Ibanez DT350 and X series. And this guy says in the posting, it says, "This is serious as shit. Not for wimp rock or doom metal. It's only for serious riffs and metal. It's from 1984. It plays 80s metal perfectly. Creator, Motorhead, maybe some Venom, Judas Priest, Randy Rhoads. But if you want to play Randy Rhoads, you should buy a Randy Rhoads, you scum. This guitar can also play Motley Crue and Megadeth. This guitar will be perfect for playing in a Motley Crue cover band. But if... this guitar will not play doom metal. This... guitar needs to play good riffs and not boring doom riffs. If your favorite band is Black Sabbath, I cannot sell this guitar to you. If you own a Fender or Gibson and want to upgrade, I can't sell this to you."
And here's the biggest joke. Ibanez Japanese guitar are the prime of guitar craftsmanship. Created by the ancient Japanese wizards. If you think otherwise, you haven't played one of these heavy metal battle tanks.
Not for doom metal.
Only for real true metal like Motley Crue.
I can only sell you this guitar if you really are ready to rock.
No boring riffs.
If your only amp is a practice amp or a Fender twin, you shouldn't buy this guitar.
That's like, oh man. Do you guys remember that Craig?
Just for the record, it's an early Ibanez X series, like one of the old, if you're not familiar with it, think like a DNML. Basically, like an early Ibanez form of a DNML.
I bet you play in an indie band and don't even have the chops for this guitar. Don't play shoegaze with this guitar.
Oh, God.
Jeez, dude, do you want to sell the guitar?
Yeah, I know. Are you really going to turn down money? Or
$400, man.
If you have a Marshall full stack in your bedroom, then this is the guitar for you.
And you better have some Tiger pants, and a Judas Priest Screaming for Vengeance shirt.
All right. 45 years. Heavy metal turned 45 this week.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it's 45 years old. And we say that because it's the 45th anniversary of motherfucking Black Sabbath.
Yep.
Yeah.
Making their way on the scene. So
right on.
That's great.
All hail Black Sabbath.
Yeah, so here's to another 45 years.
Listen to some Sabbath this week. You get a chance.
All right. I'm not going to say that I hate Tenacious D. I actually really enjoy Tenacious D. I think that they're funny. I like their first record. I enjoy Jack Black movies. I think they're good in moderation. But I think it's very fucking clowning that Tenacious D won the Metal Grammy Award this past week, and the Grammys continue to make it be known that they probably purchase or are given about 3 metal CDs over the year, all the Grammy people voting.
Well, we were talking about this last week. The joke that I made was, oh, if I'm the judge, I go, oh, the only band I've ever heard of, Tenacious D.
Yeah, covering
award
duo.
Goes to you.
Yeah, people with long hair like that band, right?
You know, in all honesty, though, Anthrax got nominated for Neon Nights.
A cover, which is also strange.
From the same tribute album, right?
So, in my opinion, the only two bands that were, that were really, like, legitimately should have, you know, one of the two bands that should have won, in my opinion, Slipknot or Mastodon. Only two bands that put out, that were nominated for original material.
Motorhead also. But,
oh, that's right. But that was for Aftershock? It was for a single that came out.
Yeah, a song off Aftershock.
Right, but the record Aftershock came out in 2013.
But isn't it funny that Grammys love covers for some f***ing reason. Like, the only Grammy that Motorhead ever won was for their Enter Sandman cover. What?
That shows really? You just the level
and they
of
probably,
taste.
They probably beat Metallica for it, too.
Lemmy just went up and was like, okay. That's like when obviously Jethro Tull won the first ever metal award, and then when Metallica won, Lars goes up and goes, "I'd like to thank Jethro Tull for not releasing an album this year."
And that was the running joke after all of this. Speaking of which, these guys, they show up because they're invited to the Grammys. If you're invited to the, I'd show up.
Yeah,
man, I just
want to see. You know,
I love that. Love it when people don't take the Grammys or the freaking. Why am I blanking out right now?
The big one is the Oscars
or the Oscars. Seriously, did you guys hear this year? Matt Stone and Trey Parker again for the second time, showed up on acid in dresses.
Showed up dressed like women. Yeah.
Great. That's awesome.
Obviously, it's a big joke. Anthrax was there, Mastodon was there, and they showed up creatively
in some really amazing outfits.
Idiots. It's awesome.
Brent Hines got kicked out of the Grammys because apparently on the way down the red carpet, let's see, who is this from? This is from Ben. From Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
On his Twitter feed. Party crasher in the house right before Brent Hines get kicks out of the awards show because he poured his bag all over the floor and undies and money and weed spilled everywhere and he wouldn't pick it up. Sir, you have to leave. Why? Because you don't know how to behave.
He was wearing a full-on L.A. Dodgers, like, baseball uniform. That's awesome.
The whole thing.
And then, his bandmate was wearing, like, a polka dot.
Bron was in a balloon suit.
It's a multicolored goofy.
With a green flannel undershirt.
Amazing. Ah, good times.
And they got kicked out. So. What would you do? I'd be like, I'd pull a Kanye. Get up on there. They'd be like, who's this guy?
My favorite, you know.
Just so like 50,000 albums just for
just
that
like
stuff.
When the dude from Rage Against the Machine, Tim, jumped up on stage at the MTV Awards, remember, and climbed that tower like was rocking it back and forth and trying to knock it down. Speaking of which,
remember when Old Dirty Bastard went up on stage and he was like, Wu-Tang is for the children! Wu-Tang is for the children! And he interrupted the rap award and he just went up on drunk as f*** on stage. It was awesome.
The reason I bring it up is because just this week, Tim Comerford from Rage Against the Machine called Limp Bizkit one of the dumbest bands in the history of music.
Yes. Huh?
Gotta call a spade a spade.
Because you might as well have said water was wet.
At that MTV Music Award back in 2000 is when it was. When they were nominated for Sleep Now in the Fire for Best Rock Video or whatever, when people still created and watched videos, and they lost to Limp Bizkit for Break Stuff. So he's like, fuck this, and he went and climbed up on the tower. But he was doing an interview this week and said, one of the dumbest bands in the history of music that nobody gives a shit about anymore.
Yeah, well, before we get off the topic of Mastodon, can we talk about this electronic dance remix of Curl the Burl?
Yeah, where is that? Let me find that again here. I was going to play that and see. There's a lot of Mastodon stuff going on this week.
Yeah, I like that. I like it when the EDM dance music community gets a little metal with it. You know, it's a cool thing.
What was that band Architects that was like gent f***ing gent core?
Gent Step.
Oh, Gent Step.
They called themselves... One of them legitly called themselves Gent Step, and that's when I decided I didn't really want to listen to that band.
Cool.
Max is out.
Just takes his headphones off and leaves.
I think Travis is getting into it. Nope.
All right, I want to wait. Wait
no,
for it.
No, he's not.
If you're Mastodon, what do you do when you hear this? Pass the joint. All right, I'm gonna skip like halfway through. See, you being stoked on this right now, Ryan, is like us being stoked on the Seahawks. You're like, oh, hell yeah. We're like, man.
Bummer.
What the f***?
Anyway, there's that. So that exists in the world.
Well, I mean, it's not the greatest thing, but I mean, A for effort.
Could be worse. While we're still talking about Mastodon, Bill Kelleher, who didn't wear anything weird to the Grammys this week.
The only one.
Yeah, he hosted a clinic at Guitar Center recently, which we'll talk about also. This is all just flowing into each other. It's rules.
Oh, yeah. Seamless transitions.
Week of the segue.
Right. And so let me see if I can find this here. He's playing a bit of a new Mastodon riff. So
I really appreciate how Mastodon's style has changed and evolved over the years. And I was wondering if you have a sense of sort of what's next, if you have any new sorts of inspirations or stylistic things to explore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you appreciate that. A lot of people don't. A lot of people, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people,
they hear their favorite band, they want them to stay the same, like, for until they get old and die, you know? That's just not human nature, not to me. It's like, you know, we get older, we grow, we have different experiences, you know. Since the band has started, you know, a lot of things in my life have changed. I mean, I've had kids, got married, built a house, tore down a house, lost a lot of friends, you know, toured all over the world. A lot of things are different than when I first started. You know, when I first started, we were like, you know, look like stranded island men, you know, we're just barely eating and super skinny and like ripped up clothes and just like jumping in a dirty stinky van, like traveling all over, which, you know, you're gonna write differently when that happens, and you know, obviously things get more comfortable, or you know, things change. It's like, it's inevitable, and I think it's good to change. I mean, people are like, wow, you know, you're never gonna beat the Remission record, why don't you write another record like that? So why don't you just go pull it off your shelf and listen to it? That's what you want.
Yeah, good point.
You just gotta getting old. You
know, see if we can get some of this riff in.
It's easy.
It goes on for a while, but that's a new song, I guess, that they're going to be putting together.
Nice.
So, a new Mastodon.
Right on.
Just jumping all over the place. Well, you want to talk about Guitar Center next?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you guys should talk a little bit more about it. Guitar Center kind of on its dying days, it seems like. You guys are obviously the guitarists in the group here.
We talked about it on air a little bit last week. And basically the gist of it was, in April, they're going to have to file their holiday reports, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Basically all the money they made or lost over Christmas, you know?
That's the quarterly reports or whatever.
Big time of the year for them, and the estimation is that the amount of money they have in the bank is not going to cover the amount of money they owe their bondholders.
Okay.
Which basically means that in order for them not to go to be sued for the money that they owe people, they have to literally declare bankruptcy. So apparently that's where they're headed. That's where we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The financial analyst said that that's where they're going. And this week, I think we're beginning to witness some of the bricks fall out of the wall here for Guitar Center. The headline of this article is, Guitar Center loses $11 million, fired 100 plus more employees than originally reported.
So kind of the tip of the iceberg. I've read into this a little bit. Kind of the tip of the iceberg. I'm blanking out on his name off the top of my head. It's not in front of me, but a couple years back, Guitar Center hired one of the guys who started Musician's Friend, who is one of the biggest gear dealership websites in the world. And they hired him to do all their online stuff and to get basically bring them to the online market and make them a powerhouse for online music merchandise.
Right, because Musician's Friend and Guitar Center used to battle each other.
Right.
And if you remember, they used to have two different brochures you'd get in the mail.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then eventually, the Musician's Friend one stopped showing up, and then the Guitar Center one happened to be like 30 pages more.
Mm. Yep. And
wow, and it looked just like the other one.
And that's what happened with that. So
it just joined up.
What a... The linchpin, what started this whole thing is they fired the guy who had started Musician's Friend, who was one of their biggest cash cows. They straight up fired him so that they wouldn't have to pay his salary anymore and have to deal with all the extra perks.
And when does it say when did they fire him? 2 days before Christmas.
2 days before Christmas, yep.
Nice big move, fellas.
Jerk maneuver. So, after that, they started letting go of all their high-ranked employees and kind of started trimming the tree from the... because it was nearby Christmas, you know.
Right.
From the top down. And it's really looking bad. And as soon as that started to happen, all the investors started to pull out, and it's just really, really gone downhill. Personally, I'm a fan of other smaller guitar outlets where I can get more individual attention to my instruments.
But Guitar Center is just so convenient, and it's always there, and you always know that they're going to have what you need.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's so, like Starbucks for coffee drinkers. It's just consistent, and it's everywhere.
Like, it's like the Walmart of music stores.
It's like the, they actually have to have the no stairway sign, because there's always some jerk off playing some song in there.
And I say that because it's kind of like, you know, everybody talks a lot of flack on Walmart and things like that, but at, you know, when you're desperate and you're looking for the thing that you need and you're standing there and you're like, there's the thing that I'm looking for, you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'm really glad these things are around.
Metal Slugs made a good point, though, in this article, though, that when you said that they were starting to get rid of their, like, highest up people, the people at the top have gotten there because they're the smartest, they have the most ingenuity, they are the most creative, they are the best at what they do. So when you start getting rid of those people, and like they said, those people are the ones that are making all of your sales. Those are the educated people that are working your guitar counter, that are giving people knowledge, doing up sales, making your company money. And instead of that, you're just hiring some 16-year-old kid that is like, I don't know what a bridge on the guitar. What?
Yeah. I remember
what's a Floyd Rose.
I remember it was
humbucker.
It was actually a few months ago. I saw a glimpse of the tiny beginnings of this. A good mutual friend of all of ours who works at Guitar Center, who will remain anonymous. So I was having a conversation with him, and he looked pretty pissed off. And I just said, "Well, you know what's going on, man?" And he just said, "You know, Guitar Center just had this big meeting. They took away all our discounts.
Oh, we can't
there it is.
It's like the only reason to work there.
Not just the employee discounts, but the discounts for everything.
Damn.
And he just and I Yikes. Was like, man, you know that sucks.
Getting,
you're not going to be able to get gear anymore. And he's
and
like,
they're
no,
ready. Yeah,
and he
for
the,
something.
The way he put it is, he said, no, it's not just about me getting gear. I can't hook people up anymore. That was my biggest bargaining chip.
Made sales. Yeah,
that's how I make sales, and that's why all my friends even bothered to come in and buy gear for me in the first place.
Right, because it doesn't have to be a big deal, but if you can, you know, to like a kid or like someone family that's like trying to buy a guitar for someone, if you can go, hey man, you guys look like you really want this, let me knock $30 off, or let me toss in a couple of sets of free strings, or whatever you can, that little thing that you can do to push people over the line.
And the way that he said it is, he was like, this is gonna kill all my sales numbers. And when I talked to him a couple months later and asked him how he was doing it, he said, yeah, it was just as I predicted. Like nobody that's working there is making half the sales that they used to be able to, because they can't cut these deals anymore. And so they really, really screwed over the employees with that one. And
yeah, it's just going to fall in on itself. It's just one thing's going to lead to another. You're going to have people working there because everyone that's cool quits because they don't want to work there. And they know they have to go find another job in the field before everybody else flees to go find that job at you know, local Thunder Road or whatever.
American Music or...
Right. Trading Musician.
Is it inescapable, though? It's inescapable. Everyone's just trying to figure out what to do in the next
If I'm
months,
a manager
right?
at Guitar Center right now, I am going,
yeah.
Trying to find another job.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those people, like, are, you know, one of the dudes that we started doing radio with is a manager at Guitar Center and has been for years.
Morgan,
if he
what
was,
up?
Like, seriously, and no offense to Morgan, he was 3 credits away. He was 3 credits away from getting his AA and
gotta
said,
go back
fuck it, because he had to go back to work. So if he loses his job, it's like, what is he going to do?
Reform Vanguard.
Yeah. You know,
for all the monies.
Shout out to those of you out there that are working at smaller music stores and whatnot, too. I can honestly say I still buy all my strings from the same guitar store that I started buying my strings from in high school, because they gave me a better deal than anywhere I've been able to find.
Damn.
Anywhere
in
else.
Montana?
Yeah, yeah. He ships me my strings.
That's awesome.
Once every other month, I get my box of strings.
I was going to say, that's the other thing, dude. I'm just going to start buying everything online. That's where it's gotten for me anyway, because I like...
Dude, I'll hook you up with my string guy.
There you go.
Dirt cheap and
we all
great
need a
dude.
Guy.
Yeah.
Bolt Thrower is not coming back to town. They played Seattle at Numo's a couple years ago, sold out show, but they are playing right up the street at the Rickshaw Theater in Vancouver in the summertime. They're playing a few shows. They're playing Quebec, Ontario, and over here in the West Coast on June 21st. If you want to go see Bolt Thrower, or if you missed them in Seattle, check them out there. Maybe they'll come down, maybe not, but for now, that's all we know.
Night. So this week, again, we welcome back Travis the Virus to talk about a few things that, well, piss him off. Or, you know, maybe he's excited about, but probably piss him off.
Travis knows a lot about metal. He knows a lot about music in general.
Yeah.
And we trust his opinion.
You know the resume I have by now.
Yes. And yes. He's usually pretty on point. Let's test it again.
I hope all of you had a good week. I couldn't get into Cannibal Corpse and Behemoth, so my week kind of sucked. But let me just take it all out on you now. All
right.
Travis,
so,
before you jump into this, I got to say we got like several tweets. People loved your bottom five list of 2014.
Oh, you got to show those to me sometime because
definitely.
I never read about my stuff online because I'm a narcissist, but I'm not that much of a narcissist.
There was a guy who tweeted us and was like, man, you're fucking right. It was, what was the first band that you said was terrible?
King 810.
Yeah, King 810. He was like, that's bullshit. This is terrible.
And so, you're right.
There you go.
Well, thank you. All right,
man. Let's do it.
All right. Virus rants. Here we go. Okay. Somebody needs to tell Blabbermouth, Metal Sucks, and Metal Ejection that pictures of celebrities wearing metal t-shirts is not news. It barely qualifies as a human interest story, since most celebrities barely qualify as human. Look, I get it. Sometimes you have a slow news day. You've announced all the upcoming tours that you know about. You've done all the studio reports. Phil Labonte can't say stupid shit every single day. But posting a picture of some R&B singer wearing a Judas Priest t-shirt or some bling bling rapper with a designer leather jacket with a Megadeth and a municipal waste patch, those aren't news. It's just some cheap bullshit that that RollingStone.com or MTV would stoop to. And it's not like the old Decibel column Closet Metalheads, where they talk to people that you wouldn't think would be metal fans but are, and they talk about so what kind of metal do you like and what are you about. There's no story at all. It's just, here's a picture of some rich asshole, some famous dickhead.
Here's Rihanna with a municipal waste shirt.
Here's Rihanna with a municipal waste shirt. And this, and then just like, just a sentence saying that the photo exists. Yeah, I know that the photo exists. I'm looking at it. There's no story at all. Where does it end? Are they going to post about sitcoms that mention a metal band in the script? Or a cell phone video of an SNL cast member walking into a record store? Or like, oh, hey, Angelina Jolie's, one of her assistant heard her humming a Pantera song. Where does it end? That sort of, I'm sorry, this may seem trivial to you, but this pisses me off because it's just bullshit pandering to celebrity culture. Metal is better than that. We need to kill this now.
Because they're never going to interview that actual band. They're never going to be like, hey, Chris Brown wearing a Darkest Hour hoodie.
They don't even, they don't talk about it at all. So whether or not they're wearing it just for fashion or if they actually secretly do like the band doesn't matter.
Here's the other thing. You're not fucking cool.
Yeah. Just because you're wearing a cool band shirt doesn't mean you're cool.
Go back to making your shitty music and making lots of money and making us all want to fucking kill you.
Yeah, if you want to do that, you want to pollute and piss in the mainstream, fine, go ahead. But don't drag metal down with you. That's what I have to say about that.
Fair enough.
And speaking of Decibel, now everybody knows that I have a love-hate relationship with that magazine.
Okay.
And this is definitely part of the latter. Now, recently, Decibel lost two of their columns. Brutal Truth singer Kevin Sharp's always interesting column. He retired it recently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
It was short, but it was always good.
It was short, but it was great. Whether he was talking about a tour or something he was doing at home in between gigs, it was always interesting. The guy, he was a good writer. I liked reading his stuff. So now they also lost that music business column that was named after a Megadeth song. They moved it to the website. So they replaced it with, two issues ago, they replaced it with two more columns. One by that angry record store guy who's in the band Krieg, and another, which is a metal parenting column. Now...
Okay.
A metal parenting column. And I sense you guys are on the same page. Now, full disclosure, I don't have kids. Don't really want kids. If you guys have kids, I realize a lot of metalheads have kids or parents. That's fine. But I don't want that sort of shit taking up space in Decibel. I read Decibel to read about metal music, metal tours, musical gear, horror movies, and beer. I don't want to hear about, like, why you shouldn't put your child in a Slayer onesie because they can't really listen to Slayer. That's bullshit. It's one of those things. What really pissed me off about it, besides the fact that I just hate hearing parents talk about their f***ing kids all the time, even my friends, it's just with kids, they're like, okay, yeah, that's great. So the story's over, right? Cool. It's obvious that sort of thing is not there for the reader's benefit.
Right.
It's there.
It's filler.
It's filler to make, also, even worse, it's basically to make people on the staff who have kids feel better about getting older.
Exactly.
That's what it is. There's nothing wrong with getting older. Unless you die, you're going to get older. That's how aging and time work. And, you know, but don't drag, don't sort it out on your own. Don't make your readers suffer for it, reading about Bourne, like, ugh. Now, I'm assuming that I wasn't the only person that felt this way. I hope not. Because,
I'm sure they'll get letters.
Yeah, because it was in the issue two issues ago with Napalm Death on the cover, and in the latest issue with Jeff Whitehead from Leviathan, it is not present. And I saw that, and I'm like, good, fuck it. Fuck all that shit.
I was going to say, what's the shelf life of a column like that anyway? Like, how many episodes in are you going to get to before you go, okay, who gives a fuck about what kind of diapers you're putting your kid in?
And where does it end? What happens, like, in 10 or 15 years if Decibel is still around and some of them are, like, senior citizens at the time? I don't want to read a column called, like, Vomited Anal Tract or something about senior medical issues where they're interviewing Jacob Bannon from Converge about how he had a goiter removed or whatever.
Someone spin-kicked my colostomy bag.
Yeah, I just... Look, just because there are metal, I'm sure there's metalheads that are into stamp collecting, and there's nothing wrong with stamp collecting. If you do collect stamps, good for you. Don't let anybody tell you you shouldn't. But yeah, just so you know, I don't give a shit.
F***ing stamps!
All right.
Bad stamps,
so
bro.
Decibel, please don't bring it back.
Enough with the children.
I know you won't listen to me ever since I talked all that about your top 100 albums of the 2000s, but whatever. All right, and finally, this is more of like a query or a question than a rant.
Okay.
And so, Ailstorm and Swashbuckle are coming to Seattle soon.
Yeah.
I don't know
today.
Exactly.
It was actually this past weekend, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it this past weekend?
Right, literally as we're speaking right now.
Yep. Oh, well, that shows you how little I paid attention to it. I saw an ad about a week ago at the record store I work at,
yeah,
which just begs the question, and maybe somebody out there can answer this for me. Why does pirate metal suck so much? Why? I don't understand why it's that bad. Metal is badass. Pirates, pirate lore and history and mythology is all full of all sorts of tales of sailing the seas, boarding ships, firing cannons, stealing, ravaging,
drinking,
getting drunk on rum and grog.
Killing.
I think that's what it was called. Grog. Yeah, killing, banging wenches, losing legs and eyes, walking the plank, making other people walk the plank, swimming with sharks, pistols, blunderbusses, old school dynamite, and all sorts of other badass shit. So why is it that they all sound like such hokey, silly crap? It's not even silly in the same way Gwar or Death Clock or early Cannibal Corpse lyrics are silly. It's more in the way Corpiclani are silly.
It's
and
like,
I have to be like five beers deep at least to enjoy Corpiclani.
I think that they those bands in particular like don't embrace the pirate aspect so much as they embrace like the gypsy squeeze boxy fucking ho hum boom 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 fucking, you know.
And that's
polka sound.
That's Hollywood stereotype.
That's a very good point. Yes, because they get the whole thing about like drinking and celebrating after a voyage, a successful raid, but like if you listen to like say Viking metal bands,
right,
you read their lyrics, it's about the actual raid. It's about,
you're like, yeah, burn your village and raped your women and fucking cut your head off and put it on a spike.
Yes.
And then shit down your neck.
Brutal. Ugly stuff.
When I listen to Ailstorm, I don't feel like I'm legitimately listening to metal. It doesn't feel like metal.
No, it's just like
it's
silly, hokey carnival
joke,
music.
Right?
I'm surprised they don't throw a calliope in there.
It's super popular. Like, it's really popular amongst...
Well, it's not a joke, but they're all just in good fun. It's all just a good time.
It's kind of gimmicky.
They get off the stage. They're not walking around life going, "Arr, give me a Subway sandwich."
No, like Steel Panther. Steel Panther isn't really like a metal band off stage.
Right. One of those guys was from the band Fight, so I know that they're fake.
Well, the bass player from bass player from Swashbuckle is one of the head tour managers for can't remember the name of the label that they're on, but he's one of the main guys that goes out with bands and manages the merch and manages all the vans and deals with all.
So he's got a pretty cool day job.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I mean, my point is that the guy is obviously into some legit bands and spends a lot of time around some really, really legit bands. And you can't deny that dude can shred a bass in half. It's just kind of a bummer that
it's a paycheck.
This is what they choose to do.
Well, there's plenty of bands and musicians I see and I go like, wow, they're really good at what they do. But what they do, I don't like. It's the reason why I can't get into Rush. It's the reason why like a ton of the old 80s shredder guys. Lots of people can learn chops. That's great. But if you can't write something that I think is cool, I'm not going to go see you and I'm not going to...
What's the conclusion then?
The conclusion is, if anybody out there can point to me to a pirate metal band that actually sounds as badass as Viking metal and ancient Egyptian metal and
there's be something we're missing.
There has to be. Just focusing on the more heavy, brutal, badass aspects of the pirate mythos.
You should start one.
Be that guy.
Oh, shut him
down. Be that dude.
I'm thinking.
Wait, look at him.
Didn't shut me down.
Remember what we were saying?
It's just that you can't hear me think.
We got Blackbeard sitting right in our studio right here.
Yeah.
Start a legit pirate band.
Fucking brutal.
Did you know Blackbeard's real name was Edward Teach?
There you go. See, he already knows. He already got a song.
Teach us something about pirate metal.
Your band should be called Edward F***ing Teach.
Tell you what.
We'll poke your eye.
Why don't I just try writing a good pirate metal song?
Okay.
We'll see if it works from there.
Okay.
Make it
so next I'm not going to have a pirate metal band if I write one good song and eight shitty ones. I will not do that.
Next time we hear from you in like a month, or maybe the month after that, we'll check back in and see how you're... pirate metal song is coming along.
I'll get cracking on that.
Okay, let's see. One of the bands that played with Carcass last year at the Showbox, Gorguts, they've announced that they're reissuing two of their records via Century Media, Obscura and From Wisdom to Hate. And just because they came out so long ago and they want to actually have some good sounding production. So Canadian Legends, Gorguts, they're going to be out April 6th and 7th. Respectively.
Nice.
So soon, Luke LeMay. Good stuff, man. Gorguts.
That's awesome. Something that is a bit odd, but, you know, could be cool if you're a big Metallica fan. They are now making skis. Metallica skis.
Wow. They really have done everything.
Yeah, that's true. You can get Metallica skis. So if your favorite album is Master of Puppets, you can get some Master of Puppets skis. And, I mean, I don't know. They're not even snowboards.
You can hit a tree and die in Metallica skis.
Just so everyone will know how big of a tool you are.
What's that that line that they use? Sonny Bono and hitting some trees. That's an Eminem line?
Yeah.
Dude.
Is that out of bounds? Is that too much?
No.
Everything else
passed.
Is cool. If
too
we're going to talk
soon,
about
bro.
People getting fucked with knives, we can talk about Sonny Bono hitting a fucking tree.
Too
and
soon, bro. You know? It was like 19 years ago. Too soon.
Let's talk about Ozzy Osbourne's house.
Yeah?
Being invaded by bats.
Oh, that is fucking karma, dude. You bite one's head off, they'll haunt you forever.
All right, so this guy, Ozzy, you know,
Ozzy.
He's got some money. Ozzy. Ozzy Sharon. Yeah, this motherfucker has a $5 million house in Buckinghamshire, England that's become infested with bats. And not just any bats, a rare species of bat, which means...
demon bats.
PETA gets involved, and the government gets involved, and they are protected under environmental laws. As a result, the Prince of Darkness has to purchase a special license if he wants to evict the bats from his own house. The license will cost him upwards of the equivalent of $28,000.
Sorry, dude.
Not including the fees used by the exterminators or whoever the hell you get to have the bats out. So you fucking reap what you sow, Ozzy.
Do you think he's already done it, though? It's like...
That's
well,
nothing to do.
Here's the thing. If you got to the point where it took so long for you to go, dude, bats have invaded our house, it's probably pretty bad. He's like, oh, yeah, a couple of bats. Yeah, we saw some bats. And he's like, oh, I'm Aussie, yeah.
One bat, and I'm freaking.
Oh, I got a bat in the house. Oh, and then he's like, oh, here's 500 bats in my fucking house. Yeah. So there it is.
That's a lot of bat heads to bite off, man. I mean.
The protein, though, from the blood, like, you know, if you really got to stock up on it.
Wow. People are saying that it was an intentional thing. Like, somebody actually planted the bats in Aussie's house. It's becoming a conspiracy. There is a group called the Bat State of England and Ireland, more commonly known as the BSEI. They claimed credit for the attack.
Wow.
And they released a statement to Al Jazeera. No longer will we stand by and see our bat brethren treated as if common pigs. If the great Satan Ozzy Osbourne truly believes he can just decapitate us, in between singing about malfunctioned railroad transportation and returning to his mother's abode without any consequences, he was sorely mistaken. Praise to be Bat Allah.
Wow. So I'm checking out a news story right now, and it's very interesting, kind of late-breaking news here. A Florida teenager has undergone the first procedure to reduce the size of his penis.
What?
Yes, wait, to reduce
what?
The size
like
of his penis.
Is this like a clickbait article that you're always like, should I choose this or should I choose
that? No, it's true. Ooh. It's FoxNews.com reporting it. This guy had penis, and it was a normal, like, so he had a length 7-inch penis, but he had a circumference of 10 inches.
Whoa!
And it drew comparisons to a grapefruit or a rugby ball. And so it had a rare medical condition where he just had a humongously fat and he got it reduced in size. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't know.
Like you,
can you imagine?
I get it because there's no way to pair with someone.
Yeah. You unzip your pants and chicks just go,
and she goes,
no.
Good thing because I got in a car accident 3 years ago and my vagina is 19 inches wide.
Jesus.
You know what? Like, new mothers.
No.
No.
Not even Max.
No.
God damn you.
What?
What do you mean what?
We know what you're going to say.
That's it. I was telling Kevin, I was just telling you, my mom listens to these podcasts,
it's
man.
It's true.
Rugby dick.
Rugby cock. Good times.
All right. All right. You guys ever gotten so drunk that you'd woke up up like you not like you woke up drunk, like you woke up going
injured,
like yeah, you fell down some stairs or like you got a black eye because you said some shitty thing to some guy or like
Max definitely did.
Have you ever woken up I woke up on my 25th birthday after Kevin spin kicked me in the ribs
I remember this story
and gave me my first and only broken bone. You broke ribs in the front and back, and I've had a bad back since then. I wake up every day with a fucked up back. So thanks, dude. Thanks.
I've never gotten anything broken, but I woke up without my pants once. Just like lost my pants.
That's like a necessity when I'm drunk.
I woke up last night with my boxers on backwards.
What?
I thought that I was abducted by aliens.
Getting some freaky. Last night.
By myself. It was Valentine's Day by myself.
Jeebus.
So, yeah,
that
I
means
mean,
the hole's in the back, though.
Sometimes after a rough show.
Maybe you're a genius.
Yes. You can't get me now. Oh, wait. You totally can get me now. I've woken up with, you got some bruises on your arms or on your legs or whatever.
Some bruises on your dick.
I still got bruises on my knees from October.
You ever gotten a dick bruise? One time I had a dick bruise. It was weird.
You ever
friction blister?
No, you can't break it. You just break it in half.
It was just, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it, but it was a dick bruise. It definitely went away.
I need to know
friction
now.
Burn?
How did you get a dick bruise? Did you punch yourself in the dick?
No, I was probably f***ing off too hard, bro.
What?
Yeah. You bruise just, your dick.
When you I was, need to calm down.
It was when I was like 15 years old. I got a dick bruise.
Have you ever guys got friction burn?
It was a good...
No,
it,
man. All right.
It was a solid issue of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
We're falling down the rabbit hole, man. The reason we bring it up is because just this week, Black Tongue's Alex Tayen fell out of his fucking tour bus because okay, here's how I imagine this happening. Dude's sitting there having a couple of drinks or whatever. At this point, they're probably, the show's probably over. It's late in the night. They're on the road. They've left the venue. They're just hanging out on the bus, talking some trying to, you know, fuck around and getting ready to go to bed. And the guy gets up off of the little couch or whatever they're sitting on in their bus or van and walks over to the bathroom. Bathroom's locked. Oh, must be the wrong door. He walks over to the other door, steps out of the moving fucking bus onto the freeway because he thought that was the door to the bathroom and he was too drunk to realize that, maybe looking both ways would be a good idea. Before I step out of the fucking...
Wouldn't you feel the air and the sounds of the cars and everything that's coming at you from that door opening?
Well, not when you're that messed up, man. I mean,
when I'm drunk throwing a like wrapper out the window at 60, like I understand that I'm gonna have something come back at me most likely.
Well, dude,
okay. So let me before we even go on, let me elaborate more on the actual story that happened. So, the more I read this story, I think that it was late at night, and he and everyone else were asleep, and the guy that was driving was driving.
Yeah.
It's not his job to, like, babysit everyone in the back. Here is what it says, according to the Telegraph, the local, like, newspaper or whatever, quote, "The victim told his colleagues that he was going to the toilet," said Officer Pachiak, a local police spokesman. "The toilet turned out to be engaged, so he opened the bus's door instead and stepped out while the coach was still moving." When Damn. They realized what had happened, other passengers alerted the driver, who stopped the coach. Band members found their colleague on the motorway, aka side of the highway, and administered first aid, while a passing motorist, who spoke, quote, broken English, stopped and called the emergency services. So it doesn't say where they were, but obviously not in the States, and not in a place where they spoke a lot of English, so... He just stepped out of the van onto the freeway.
Damn.
And some of those countries...
And he lived.
Two of them, like, imagine some of those back roads. He could have fallen down, like, a mountain.
Yeah, you could have fallen off... Yeah, you could have fallen off a 3,000-foot cliff face. He just stepped out of the van into nothing.
Did he step going face first or butt first? Was he trying to go for number two?
It says that he was hospitalized for, quote, head and face injuries, which means that he just dink, dink, ding, ding, bounced like a f***ing stick, and is quite battered and bruised. Understand not to have been badly hurt, which is the only good thing about him being drunk, is that he probably just bounced around and didn't even know.
What's this guy? Is he like a 6'3"? Is he a big guy?
I don't know, man, but this guy is lucky. This is...
I wouldn't have survived that at all.
This is dude's wake-up call. Like, you need to...
At least double check.
Because you should have died. You should have died.
That's f***ing...
You stepped out of the airplane while it was moving. Anyway, he's still alive, man. Still
that's
good.
That's dope.
Yeah, so lucky.
So, dude, okay.
They gotta write a song about it.
When I was fresh out of high school and just into college, one of my buddies who went to the UW and was at the dorm in the UW was living in the the fourth floor of his frat.
This is going to be bad.
Living in a bunk right next to an open window. And it was so drunk that he rolled out of the fucking window.
Oh my God.
Four floors up.
Ooh.
And he was so drunk that he just bounced off the ground.
Oh my God.
And lived.
There was a guy who...
this is a kid that was one of my best friends in high school.
Jesus.
He walks and talks around like he was like, remember that time I fell out of that window?
When I was in college, there was this guy who took shrooms, and he lived on the fourth floor of these dorms. And he jumped out the window of the fourth floor,
and
he would have made it fine, but he hit the bike rack on the way down.
God damn it.
Yeah, he broke his leg, he broke his arm, he broke his ribs, and he... I think he broke his back, too, so he got f***ed up. And imagine that, you're f***ed up and you're on shrooms.
So you just go...
So you're injured as you're squirming, you can't move, and
like, I think I'm
you're high as That's the worst trip.
The last time I took mushrooms, I had a broken rib just circumstantially. Turns out, when you're high on mushrooms or anything, it makes the pain 1,000 times worse.
Ugh.
So he's just sitting there going, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah, I had a friend that got dosed after a gnarly, gnarly snowboard crash after a competition.
What?
And his buddy gave him a couple of Smarties, and he thought, oh, you know, cool, candy, whatever. I'm like, hurt. He had three broken ribs and a cracked, I think his elbow or his shoulder was out of the socket. He cracked something else. And so he took the Smarties, and the guy's like, cool, that'll help with the pain. And then he started tripping balls. The guy gave him three doses. Apparently, he partied his face off the entire
time. I'm f***ed up. I don't know. Anyway, take care of yourselves, man, because that's some next level shit. Don't step out of the moving f***ing van. All right, well,
good times.
The way I see it, it's probably about time to slow things down just a little bit.
It's time for Brutal Poetry Too Hot for Radio, where we enter the Metal Shop Lounge, and Ian this week is going to be reciting lyrics from a band called Visceral Discourge.
I hate you.
Off their album Ingesting Putridity, this is the song called Necro Cuff. Necrophagia. Necroprophagia.
Necrococrophagia.
Necrococrophagia. Take it away.
Tonight I feast on rotten flesh and feces, decaying anal cavities, possessed by deranged tendencies, unloading my bowels into your decrepit mouth. I lust for the sweet smell.
Oh my god, this...
Shh, I gotta make it through. I my dick slathered in shit. Their rotten holes I shall lick. Masticating deceased anal cavities. Splattered blood and shit encrusting my dick.
Oh my god. Go on.
Fondling lifeless ingesting rotting clits. I start to devour this cadaver, splattered in fecal matter. Soaked in blood and shit, I begin feasting on the filth. Stimulating stench, engorging on excrement and rancid flesh. I pull out my knife and cut her fucking head off. Molesting her decapitated head. Exhilarating necrophilatio. How I live to fuck the dead. Ejaculating in the shit-filled mouth of a severed head. Still bleeding in my hands. Gouging fingers dig into her scalp. Cold dead blood feels so good on my c**k. Her decaying face stuffed with shit gets fucked, dripping with blood and
classy.
Sorry, Mom.
And that's your son.
You, Kevin, you picked that song. I'm sending you to hell. And at least if I'm going, you're coming with me.
At least it's better than the song Skull Fucking Neonatal Necrosis. You want me to read the lyrics to that?
No. We're good. We're good, man. Save that for next week's Brutal Poetry. Too Hot for Radio.
So what are we going to end with, my friend?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
All right, the way we're going to go out this week on Metal Shop's Backstage Pass is that, you know, sometimes we get to do really awesome interviews with bands that most people would f***ing punch us in the face to be able to have access to. And sometimes we have shitty equipment that fucks up.
It's true.
One of the instances is last year's Carcass show with Gore Guts at the Showbox downtown.
Yeah, that was a great show.
And they pulled us up on the tour bus, and we got to sit with several of the guys from Carcass and as they walked in and out on the bus. And we realized after the fact that our fucking mic was fucked up. And Ryan is the only one that got the actual audio. So we're going to see what we can salvage out of this, and maybe we can pull up some of the lost footage.
Ooh.
You know, props to those guys. They're the only band that's ever offered us a beer as we went to do the interview.
Yes. which is awesome of them.
That's really cool. They didn't have to. It was a good. It was nice beer too. So,
welcome to our house. Have
yeah,
a beer,
man.
So here's what we can salvage from that carcass interview, and we'll be back next week for Metal Shop's Backstage Pass number 43.
Sweet.
Bye, guys.
What's up, Carcass?
Us with Carcass. It's a pleasure to be talking to you guys, obviously, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
You can even it.
No worries. Absolutely. So the first question that we want to ask you guys is, what was the tipping point? What was it that got you guys to want to get back together and get back on the road, put out a new record? What was... Tell us, where did the inspiration come from for that?
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, you're looking at two different phases here. You're looking at the original reunion phase,
right,
where we just got together and played festivals and the odd tour. And then looking at this phase, which is post the new album.
Right.
The reunion shows, I guess, if anybody started that, was really Mike Amott, wasn't it? Because he kind of, he was touring a lot with Arch Enemy, and he was very conscious of the kind of demand that there was for Carcass to come back and play again.
Totally.
And Jeff was getting that a little bit with Brujeria too, you know, when he was out with them. So between them, they sort of twisted my head around, or whatever you'd say. So I actually, because I wasn't really aware of these things. And
yeah, but I wanted to do it because it was fun, and then certain people wanted to do it because they weren't making money with their band. So that's the
but that's
me.
A little bit of calm air.
That's
the
brutal version of who I am. I mean, I did it because I wanted to, you know, because I was playing with another band, I was enjoying that, and then I remembered I had my own back catalogue. I thought it'd be fun to play the Carcass again. Bill was a stubborn son of a bitch. He wouldn't do it. He took some real arm twisting. And you can thank Mike Amott for that, because I, no matter what I could ever say to Bill, I could never force him or get him to do it. But,
The thing is, Mike did it in the right way, because he just suggested that we get together and jam.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it's, I mean, and
it's pressure-free, kind of, almost.
Yeah, and also, you know, it has to be music first at all times, so it was a good way to do it. No pressure, and it was all about guitars and just playing and having fun.
Right.
And but it felt good. So.
You can never underestimate, though, that this is driven by demand more than anything, though.
Right.
I yeah, because, I mean, we can't come back if people don't want it.
Yeah, if we were desperate to do this and we were playing to 50 people, then we wouldn't be doing it.
I mean, I can do 50 people with one of my other bands, you know.
Touché, touché.
No, but the thing is, you know, it's complicated is the short answer to that, because as I said, there's a new album on the table now,
right,
and that's changed everything, because all of a sudden it's gone from being a nostalgia act to being something current.
Right.
And
right,
speaking for myself, and probably the others too, I'd prefer it this way,
right,
you know, because I'd like to feel there's some kind of future, even if it's just a few months ahead. I'd like to feel like we're going forward,
right,
rather than just being this static entity, you know.
Well, Surgical Steel was number one on our Metal Shop Top 20 records of 2013, so if you guys, yeah, you're doing it right, I think, the right way.
All right, cheers.
We won't ask what the other 19 were, we don't get upset.
So I guess, kind of, if you could, just give us a little insight into Surgical Steel, like, what was the process like from concept to actual product? How long did that take?
A couple of years.
Wow, yeah,
a year. A year writing, and don't get mistaken that it was a year of intensive.
Solid.
Yeah, it was pretty casual. We probably had maybe 25 rehearsals in writing, and we were still tweaking it until we went in the studio and still writing then. So it's a very spontaneous album. Even though it sounds like a long time, when you get to our age, a year is nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there were natural breaks, as Jeff said, in the writing, simply because here and there, the three of us—Dan, Jeff, and myself—had other things to do, so we'd go our separate ways. And whenever all three of us were free again, we'd get back together. And because there was a limit on how much time we had,
right,
we used the time really effectively, I think.
Cool.
So we just got really intense and focused and wrote loads of stuff.
Plus, yeah, when you could leave and come back, you come back with like a different perspective too, and like,
well, yeah, you have time to listen to the rough rehearsal tapes and figure out if it's still exciting the way it was on the day, you know.
Have you guys gotten a chance to, I mean, obviously you're doing a lot of work on the road and new records out. Are you going to be working on more new music in the future? The only reason we ask is because it was so good, we just want more.
Well, we'd love to, yeah. I mean, you know, we're taking things slowly. None of us look that far ahead.
Right.
But if things are going the way they are now and we're all still happy towards the end of the year, I would imagine we'll start putting some tunes together. But there's really no rush.
Don't mistake that we're locked into some touring recording cycle. We're not like other bands. Mm. If we choose to do an album, it's not because we've got commitments to the label. It's because we want to do it.
Right.
There's a big difference between a lot of bands that are around nowadays that are just churning albums out to tour. You know, we might do an album and never play again. God knows what's going to happen. But all we can guarantee you is if we do something, it'll be good, and we'll do it because we want to do it, not because we're under any obligation, you know?
Cool.
And we haven't really sat down and started writing anything because we've not had a chance. We're still you know, busy doing this. And we'll see.
That's cool, man. Got a lot of respect for that, for sure. Most definitely. All right, so you guys were the 8th band inducted into the Decibel Magazine Hall of Fame. You guys are headlining the Decibel Magazine tour. Do you guys actually read Decibel Magazine, or
he does.
Bill. No. I showed you pictures.
It looks good. No, I mean, the thing is, it's not that widely available in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Jeff's got a subscription via a friend, but.
I mean, I read some of it. To be honest, some of the articles, even for me, I can't really digest because it's well written, but some of it bores the pants off me. you know, a bit too, and especially the stuff about baseball. I mean, it's just kind of
there's all kinds of different like.
But I think, you know, it's definitely the best music magazine in the States. And
what's the best one in the UK?
Oh, that's very
Decibel, Terrorizer that I get every month.
Yeah, I don't want to answer that question.
Other metal publications.
Well, I mean, like, I mean, we all grew up
with
zines and things like that. There's a lot of publications.
Well, I think Decibel is kind of partway between being a zine and a serious publication. I mean, no disrespect. I mean, they're not trying to be a Revolver, you know what I mean? But it's well written, it's very thick, there's a lot of printed material in it, so. You know, you see some magazines nowadays. I can't believe how thin Rolling Stone is now.
Yeah.
It's like a pamphlet, you know? But Decibel's circulation is increasing all the time. Yeah. I mean, they probably do 11,000 copies, you know?
Yeah.
Which is not... They're never going to compete with, I don't know, like just a Rolling Stone or anything. But they're not trying to do that anyway.
Right.
They know the niche market, and they're sticking to it, you know? And delivering on that front, so...
Now, you guys have been... You guys have been around for a little while. You've gotten a lot of experience, a lot of dates, lots of shows under your belts. What are some current trends in metal you'd like to see go away, and maybe some things you'd like to see come back? Or if you could speak to that.
Well, hopefully we've sort of made our statement on that with this album, because we avoided certain things that are being done a lot in metal right now with the album. I suppose the obvious one would be recording to a click track, and then you've got the luxury of everything beyond the grid, and you can just move verses and chorus around, not just on drums, but on every instrument. So you end up with a very perfect assembled piece of music where there's no natural ebb and flow at all, and we just didn't want that, so we recorded the old-fashioned way, which is just free, like me and Dan on the floor together playing. So everything is based on a performance.
Wow, yeah,
naturally, we did our best to tart things up. We wanted it to sound as good as possible, but it had to have the human element to it.
Right. That's cool.
Personally, I'm tired, and not for the reasons you think I'm going to say this for, but I'm tired of a certain record label exploiting women in metal. It's getting tiresome. I'm not referring to our ex-guitarist band, but you know what?
I know what you're saying.
It's kind of tiresome. I mean, there's nothing wrong with women in metal, but when they've been sexualized to such an extent, and it's been exploited and aimed at bloody 16th-century-old blokes, it's just tiresome. No?
We just had the Hottest Women in Rock tour come through Seattle, and that's kind of what the goal was, I think, to...
Wow. I hadn't heard about that. So
was that Revolver? Or was it probably...
It was
in this moment.
It was Revolver magazine.
Okay,
it was Sick Puppies, Huntress. Who was Huntress?
Lacuna Coil.
Lacuna Coil. Yeah. So, hottest dudes in metal tour. Carcass.
Hottest dudes in metal.
Perhaps not Carcass, but I'm sure someone would be up for it. Someone out there.
Huh? Yeah, we'll get the 16.
For me, it's just tiresome just seeing the panda to the lowest common denominator of like numbskull. It's just kind of, you know. There's always been women in metal, but it's kind of this obsession with the pretty ones who seem to have the least talent, you know?
Good point. Yeah. There's a lot of women in hard rock and metal, and they don't all look like supermodels, obviously, so...
Yeah, surely the
first
thing...
Neither do the guys.
Yeah, it should be really... Yeah, exactly. I mean, it should really be about what somebody brings to the table. You know, if they're good vocally or they play well, that's all that matters.
It's just typical mainstream. It's the way, you know, pop music operates. It's just exploiting the sexual angle, regardless of, you know, what's backing it. And it works every time. I mean, it's just so simple. It's just tiresome, you know.
Have you heard the new Arch Enemy?
With that one song, yeah.
Yeah?
This is totally unconnected. I know you're
trying. No, I know. That's not, I'm sorry. It just brought it to mind because of the vocalist change and everything. But, okay, anyway.
Let's not go there.
Touche.
All right, so obviously, you know, a lot of people's, you guys were on the top of the list, or people wanted to see Carcass reunite. What is one band that you guys would love to see, you know, maybe a dream band you would love to see reunite, put out a new record?
I don't know, that's a hard one to answer because most of them do. You know, I've always said it, if you're still alive, then you know, you end up getting back together. Sometimes you do anyway, even if there's a couple of vital people missing. God, I can't think of it. I mean,
all the bands I've ever liked, I'd never want them to reform, so I'm a complete hypocrite.
Yeah, we've definitely contradicted ourselves massively on this, but, you know.
Because the problem is, they always disappoint. Now, as to whether we've disappointed some people or not, I think we probably have, but there's such a positive, overwhelming reaction for what we've done. The tiny 10% that are bitter about it is negated by, you know, the tsunami of kind of love, you know, that we're feeling at the moment. So, like I say, it's complete hypocrisy, but that's why I personally never want to see the bands I love reform, because they have a tendency to disappoint, you know.
Well, like, for example, probably the biggest money spinner on the planet would be if Guns N' Roses were to reform, that lineup from Appetite. They're all still around, of course. But if they did reform, it couldn't possibly sound the same way. You know, times have changed, and they've changed, as we have. So,
same with Kiss, too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about this? What were some of the influences that first got you guys into playing, like, down and dirty, filthy, brutal, grindy death metal? Like, what took you there in your mind?
Oh, it was easy. The early bands that pioneered that style, like Death and Repulsion and Master, you know, Insanity, Macabre, Devastation, loads of underground bands, really, Cryptic Slaughter. That was quite an exciting time to be involved in the tape trading scene.
Yeah.
Everyone was trying to outdo each other, and they were doing it because they felt that the bands they liked, you know, let's say, take for example Slayer, no disrespect, people wanted it faster and heavier, and it felt like the bands who got signed weren't delivering. So we as fans felt we could, you know? It's a very arrogant attitude to have, but that's definitely what drove all those underground bands. And that's why it was exciting, you know? But now, 20-odd years later, the band's trying to be the most brutal and extreme. It's kind of like yawn.
It is. There's that. And also, it's a little bit harder to understand when they keep trying to be the most brutal year after year.
Right.
I mean, it's very admirable in a way. If that's innovative,
yeah.
If you sincerely want to do that and nothing more, then that's cool. But if you look at something like, again, Chuck and Death, they start off as an incredibly brutal underground band, and then gradually became more musical. Because really, how far are you going to take that stuff? I mean, you can only be evil and aggressive.
And you can only
max, or, you know, a certain part of the time, and maybe have to add a few other ingredients.
Yeah, but you can only have that naivety of being unable to play for so long. At some point, you end up being able to play, and it negates any kind of primitive edge to what you've got. You know, so
yeah, that is another issue. You know, for anybody who was expecting us to remake our first album this time around, well, obviously that's extremely naive because it couldn't happen. But as Jeff said, I mean, along the way you get a little bit better at playing, and you know, a lot of those rough edges disappear. We still have enough rough edges for my liking.
Yeah.
We're not the best players on earth, but I guess we're not the kids that made that first record, and you know, we can't go back to that.
Oh. Hey, real quick, seeing as you guys have so many influences from tape trading, what are your thoughts on illegal downloading and file sharing,
especially with the new record,
on the internet?
I personally don't have a problem at all with it. I mean, there's a lot of bands bitching and moaning that they don't sell records, but the ones that are complaining are the bands that have been around forever and aren't doing anything interesting. I mean, I could show you an email with, you know, the SoundScan figures, and there's a lot of bands who are selling, but they're not necessarily the kind of bands that we want to listen to, you know? And that's a problem. I mean, there's a lot of bands that are long in the tooth, including ourselves, our kids, don't want to listen to. We look like the grandparents. That's the truth of the that's the truth of the situation. And the bands that are bitching and moaning are kind of irrelevant. They think it's the due that people buy the record, but people have, after 12 albums, people probably feel they've heard it all. You know, we're fortunate that we've come back with our sixth album and had a, took a break, and we can have some impact because of that. You know, so we're fortunate. Right. But yeah, there's bands that are selling hundreds of thousands of albums, bands that are selling 4,000 copies a week. You know, and you know, the new Sabbath's done over 350,000. So when people complain about bands not selling records, well, they, yeah, your band's not. Because it sucks. I mean, it's as simple as that, you know.
Put out good music, yeah.
Yeah,
that's helpful.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, but also, I don't know if things have changed that much, really, even from the days of making cassettes.
Okay.
Because, I mean,
you still burn a CD.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people who want to buy an album, the actual physical copy of the album, the artifact, they always will if they have always done so. They're those kind of people, and then there's some people who don't want to do that, and I don't think you're going to really see many changes in either camp.
But you're also you're overlooking the most obvious thing, that there's an oversaturation of metal in any style. Back in the 80s, there weren't this many bands, weren't this many labels. Death metal albums just did not exist. Now there's probably like 10 a week. People have a limited finite amount of funds. They can't buy 20 friggin' albums a month. And the labels are as responsible as anyone for churning so much product out there. People can't keep up. They can't listen to everything. So of course people are downloading. People have been burnt so many times by buying crappy albums. Yep. And they, for the most part, they want to hear it before they buy it. So, you know, it's...
Change of tides.
Yeah, I mean, I really... We're selling as many records as we ever did. It's as simple as that. So when people say, you know, people aren't buying CDs anymore, that's just not true. But the reality is we've never been a multi-platinum band. So, you know, we're a cult act. And I'm comfortable being like that.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't have Far to Fall. In fact, we haven't. You know what I mean? So it's not like there was a time when we were making a lot of money via royalties.
Right.
That time never existed for us. So, I mean, it's just pretty much the same.
That's not true. We do. We both make a lot of money. That's my story. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like, it goes back to what I said earlier, you know, just because you were once a multi-platinum act doesn't mean you deserve it time and time again.
Right.
You've got to earn it, you know.
Got to earn it. So, one last question or two before we go. What's next on the docket for Carcass? I mean, you guys have this tour coming up, and what's up for the rest of 2014?
Japan, Australia, festivals in the summer, and then we'll take stock. I mean, you know, we're very ad hoc. I mean... our label boss from in America is telling us that Kerry King from Slayer thinks this is the best executed comeback ever, and it's well thought out. This and the other, it's not. It's just a bunch of random events. We've been very lucky. For, that's a lot of it's been luck.
Yeah, luck and timing. So yeah, I mean, we've been fortunate.
We just amble along doing what we do, and we get offered cool things, and if we want to do it, we do it, and that's always been our philosophy. We're still trying to keep it fun, you know. We've not got a 2-year tour planned out, you know, soul-destroying, tour schedule, we're stuck in a tour bus. We, you know, we'll do what we feel we need to do to, you know, fulfill the expectations of the fan, you know, and keep it interesting for ourselves.
Well, it's cool that you get to fulfill those expectations instead of a label or somebody else. You know?
We started off on the right foot because obviously we did the record ourselves. There was no label involvement at that stage. So once we had a finished thing, we could just slap it down and say, right, who's interested?
Right. Who wants it?
Yep. or not.
Right.
So that was a good way to start because then it's clear. No one's going to have a say in how the album sounds because it's already been done.
Yep, perfect.
That's awesome. All right, our last question. Can you pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it?
Oh, that's easy. I've got like what side of my mouth is like? There's a big chunk of lip that's all weird. I fell down the stairs when I was 2.
Brutal.
Yeah, like my mum just remembers me screaming from the other end of the house. She could hear it. So yeah, that was it.
Beginning of the screams.
Yeah, I can't scream like that anymore, unfortunately. I can't get up there.
Full pipes.
Well, I've got these here. on the back of the
Ooh,
heel.
Those look recent.
That's from just getting a new pair of Vans. This is the worst. You know, it takes years to break them. Yeah, you know, just when they've healed, you get another pair and you put money in and you're about to score. We're all like, I've got stigma. But like, Jesus Christ, that's stigma.
There goes the Vans endorsement.
Exactly.
All right, gentlemen, thanks again for talking to us. Do you have any final words for the Northwest audience, metalheads out there, before we let you guys jump back on stage here?
Well,
Seattle metalheads,
thanks for coming out to see us, I guess.
Long live grunge. Oh,
well, sorry.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.